Hey, what's going on out there, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast.
Yeah, we're here, 7 a.m. every day, saying what's up.
Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credential media folks who bring you Locked on Clippers 5 days a week.
Hell yeah.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a weekend recap. Obviously, the Clippers went 2-0, beat the Magic, beat the Knicks. We're going to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, as well as just how we're feeling with the squad. I mean, back at nearly 100%, 99%.
Yeah, close. Yeah, there's some stuff. There's some weird stuff there, but we'll talk about that in the next game.
And then it's Monday. Every single Monday, we do the freshies, which is just kind of where we talk about, you know, new players, what's going on, what's fresh with them. We're going to talk a little bit about the eternal debate, Serge versus Batum, who has been the more effective new starter. And then in shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else, we're going to talk a little bit about if Ballmer is behind kind of like the media blackout on the Clippers.
Yeah.
Which, you know, very interesting stuff. You know, tinfoil hat Chuck loves to dive into these sort of things. And we also got to give you guys an update on the Batum Battalion shirts. Once again, if you haven't already, please leave a review on iTunes to get a chance to get entered in that raffle for one of those 20 shirts. Very limited. May or may not happen again. Who knows?
It'll happen again.
We're going to try to do it again, you know, cash flow permitting. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, we got to give a shout out to Built Bar. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. The Clippers had a fantastic weekend.
They did.
If it weren't for a loss to the Hawks, we'd have a pretty nice win streak right now.
We're still 9-1 in our last 10 games, which is, I mean, incredible.
Can't be mad at it. The Clippers beat the Magic 116-90. PG had 26-9-5. Did cool off in the Knicks game, which we'll talk about. But Kawhi had 24-4-3. Terrence Ross always kills the Clippers, had 50 points against us at one point in his career. But he put up 24. He was there was only two Magic players in double digits.
Which is absurd.
Yes. Terrence Ross had 24 and Vucevic had 10. And this game is another example of how Ty Lue is coaching his ass off. This was a slow burn, but the Clippers got it done.
I'm putting every time the Clippers hold a team sub 100, that's a feather in my cap.
You got a lot of feathers in your cap.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on now
to looks very weird.
The Sunday 10 a.m. game for the West Coast people, which was a nightmare. Basketball should not be played before noon on the
I was having a good time. It's kind of like football. I never get up that early for football, but
that's fair.
You know, it's worth it for Clippers basketball.
The Clippers won 129-115 in the Garden against the Knicks. No Nick Batum. Which
we'll talk more about in the second segment.
Yeah, he had a left groin contusion per the team, which sounds very uncomfortable. No Patrick Beverley either. So we started Reggie Jackson and Patrick Patterson. And look, Kawhi had a great game, but we have to start what we liked off with the fact that Patrick Patterson and Reggie Jackson were fantastic in their spot starts.
Absolutely, especially to end out that that first half. Patterson hit back-to-back threes. I don't know, he hit 5 of 5. He was great, and it wasn't just, you know, we know that he can knock down open threes. That's nothing new from Patrick Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually impressed. Like, the defensive effort was there. He had a couple possessions that I was actually like, you know, this is pretty solid defense, especially, you know, from the personnel that it's coming from.
Yeah, he was definitely trying his best. And then Reggie continued his wildly stellar play.
Is this the Reggie comeback tour?
Last few
games, I feel like I've had to eat some words.
He's right? Our number two guard.
I'm pretty
right
full.
Now. He's our me too. I think a lot of Clippers fans have. He went 4 of 5 in the third, which was huge. He ended the game with 18 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. He just keeps doing, I mean, like, rightfully
and
so.
And no major bonehead kind of situations.
That's the thing. Like, rightfully so, Clippers fans were frustrated with him kind of last year. Some of the usage was interesting. It's not his fault that he got switched on to every single time.
Look.
In that Mavs series and stuff. But he's playing maybe his best basketball right now.
I think, and we'll talk about Ty Lue a little bit later, but I do think it's a testament to Ty Lue's coaching and the way that he can get through to guys.
Yeah.
Taking Reggie, you know, taking him out of the lineup, essentially.
Patterson, too.
I think, like, was a very clear message, and I think the message was very clearly received.
Yes. Kawhi, continues to be the most disrespected player in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
28 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 11 of 11 from the line. Quickly took it to us in this game, and we had to put Kawhi on him, and he shut him down.
Yes.
And a great pregame fit.
Oh, Kawhi's?
Yeah.
Yeah, great colorway. Just, you know, simple sweat combo.
But he just keeps doing MVP stuff. And
he was 5 of 6 at one point in the second half. Like, yeah. After a little bit of a, you know, inefficient shooting start.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, man, he just continues to be incredible. Overall, like, the team really got it done. We had 6 players in double figures. We shot 44% from 3. So what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Ty Lue real quick right here?
Yeah. Ty Lue, I don't understand why Ty Lue's not getting his credit. You get, you know, Nick Batum in a game where you don't have Kawhi and PG a couple games ago gets 9 3-point attempts.
Yeah.
The ball is moving in a way for the Clippers that hasn't been seen ever. This is the best Clippers team ever right now.
This game.
And I no bullshit. This is the best Clippers team right now.
This game, we had 44 field goals on 26 assists.
You,
let that marinate.
I just don't understand.
Take that for data.
Yeah. Ty Lue deserves his credit, and he's not getting any of it. Like we talked about with the Magic game, too. We held Vooch to 10 points. Like, they had a bench guy go off against us, which, of course, as the Clippers, is going to happen. The man deserves more credit. You put a fun note in here. We dropped 130 on the best defense in the NBA.
Well, the coming into this game, the Knicks had the best opponents' points per game in the league. They were allowing opponents something like 101 points. It was something very
stifling
low.
At the 3-point line too.
And we dropped nearly 130 on them. It's just great to see. You know, we've talked about this. The offense is clearly a couple steps ahead of the defense.
Yeah.
Overall, the defense has been improving. We'll have to talk about that later this week.
Yeah.
but. You know, it's just great to see. I also loved Serge in this one. He had a turnaround from an efficiency standpoint.
He was huge down the stretch in this one.
He had he had 5 of 6 shooting overall. He finished with 15, 3, and 1, and a block.
Yeah.
You know, it was just great to see. That being said,
he hit a 3, and then he, like, got an and 1.
Yes.
Late when, like, because this game, I mean, this game was, I mean,
2 games ago, Serge had a little bit of trouble around the basket.
Yes.
And since then, he's kind of turned it around, which is good to see. You got anything else before we get into kind of what we didn't like? It's not a whole lot in this.
It's really
particular
just the first
game,
half.
But.
No, let's talk about what we didn't like. The first half of this game was a little rough. The interior defense was a little soft. We were down for, 90% of the first half.
Definitely. It got really back and forth. The Knicks were kind of getting whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
As far as that scoring perspective is concerned, we finished with 34 points in the paint. The Knicks had 48.
Yeah.
And they
had some guys go off. I mean, like, Julius Randle is playing such good basketball right now. RJ Barrett played well. Quickly had, 25, 3-3?
Yeah, on 9 of 16
shooting.
That dude
is good. He is a very good basketball
player.
That's
a quality pickup. I think.
Only 3 guys for the Knicks in double digits, though. Excuse me, 4.
Yes. Also, on the Emmanuel Quickly thing, the Lou Will moment.
Oh, that was great.
I got choked up.
Yeah.
If you missed the game, at one point during a free throw break, Emmanuel Quickly told Lou Will that he was one of his favorite players ever. And Lou Will said, you know, thank you, I appreciate it.
Lou Will's like, yeah, I know. Okay, great. That was good. And then really the only other thing, PG from outside was really bad today.
Yes, 1 of 8 from deep. He struggled from the floor overall. I got to be honest, I'm not too worried about the performance, just given he
killed the Magic. Like, it's you're going to have off games.
For sure. And he still found other ways to get it done. He added 8 boards. He had 5 assists, which, solid.
Yeah, the Clippers turned it up in the second half in this one. The lead did get down to, 2 at some points in the second half. But every time that the Knicks would come back, the Clippers would just kind of shove them back away again. And again, which I think is a testament to Ty Lue. The man is not getting enough credit. Fantastic weekend.
Yeah.
It's a good time right now.
Coming
up, we're going to be talking the freshies, trying to figure out who's been the most impactful new Clipper. It's a bit of a toss-up between one player who has an absurd net rating and another player who's opened up the offense a little bit. But first, we have to give a shout-out to 1010. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times, In Style Magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're ready to make a special commitment or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings is now available exclusively at BlueNile.com.
Okay, so we're back with the Freshies, which is just kind of where we talk about the new guys. And right now, we're going to talk about, you know, we're roughly 30% of the way through the season. Who has been the best new guy in terms of the starters? Oof. I think we're going to focus on.
Well, I think in terms of starters, I think this kind of carries over to overall.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And it's between Nick Batum and Serge Ibaka. Like,
you know where I'm leaning.
We know where you're leaning, but just some, you know, some face value stats. Serge is averaging 12 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, plus 9 net rating. Nick Batum, 10 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, plus 25 net rating. I learned on Sunday that Nick Batum has 134 offensive rating.
Absurd. Just absolutely
makes
bananas.
No goddamn sense.
I mean, you know, I don't want to split hairs between these two guys because they've both been... They've both been essential adds, I feel like, to this lineup.
The
like,
Serge, the upgrade from Serge Ibaka, excuse me, from Montrezl Harrell to Serge Ibaka makes this Clippers team what everyone kind of thought it was going to be last year. We have shooting everywhere at this point now.
Yeah.
We have pick and pop. Like, we have leadership. We have championship experience. I don't understand how it was seen as kind of like, oh, it's a pretty good upgrade.
And
it's miles ahead of where we were.
And while Serge certainly isn't, you know, defensively where he has been at other points of his career, he still has been solid overall
yeah.
on that end. So, yeah, I can't give it to one over the other. You know, I'm a Batum stan.
You and Joseph Rye Award.
I'll die on that hill.
You and Joseph Rye Award, you know, brought in the Batum Battalion. You guys were the ones who created it, so I see that. I think...
Joseph was reluctant, I will say. Laughed in my face
we'll have
when
him
I
on
said
the
Batum
show
would be
to
great.
To defend himself. For me, long run, I think Serge is.
Interesting.
We get shooting. We have legitimate shooting at the five, which is something, you know, and this obviously isn't a discredit to Nick Batum at all. But if you put Marcus Morris in there too, having Serge at the five with his shooting ability, it's just, it opens up the team as a whole a lot more.
I just think that the switchability, like the versatility on defense that Batum offers,
he does
is
guard like,
huge.
He guards so many different guys.
And like, you know, he'll have his down nights. That's, you know, that's fair.
Yeah.
It'll happen. It's a long season.
For sure.
But also, you know, I've been impressed with the way that he's able to either quickly make a pass, like he makes reads very quickly.
Great cutter.
Great cutter, or he just takes the shot. And I've been, you know, even when it, like the efficiency wasn't there for the past couple games mm-hmm. Leading up to the Magic game.
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, look, it's still just, I love JaMychal Green. This is an infinite upgrade from
wow.
what JaMychal Green was able to offer this team. And that's not a knock on JaMychal. I was going to say,
yeah.
some of that was definitely usage, but Nick Batum, if you didn't think he was going to be an upgrade, I think that he's more than proven himself.
To be fair, I think a lot of people didn't think that he was going to be an upgrade to JaMychal Green.
Foolish.
Not foolish.
Foolish.
I have to defend that. I was one of those people. I didn't think he was washed, but I didn't think he was going to be starting for the Clippers when they're 16-5. That's insane.
I'm in the middle of the street, dressed in only a Batum jersey, no pants, screaming, who is JaMychal Green?
We got to give a hat tip. He doesn't count for it because he's been on the team for more than a season for the Freshies, but Marcus Morris is just as instrumental in Nick Batum being important to this team as anybody else.
Look.
Right?
Look.
Is that crazy?
I think that we talked about this a little bit before, but I think that Morris has hugely rehabilitated his image with this team. But the
he
fact
hasn't bounced the basketball off a single player's forehead this season.
hasn't made one misogynistic comment since he's been here. But I think the thing is, like, him seeing how well things were clicking with that starting unit and being willing to, like, to, you know, I just can't imagine how
the
difficult that
must
be.
The biggest
to take a backseat role willingly. I just think...
Especially when you played so well in the bubble.
Yeah, I just think that you know, speaks volumes about his character, both as a person and as a player. And, you know, good on him for it. And he had a great game against the Knicks.
He did.
And
oh, yeah, we didn't really talk about him. Damn it. That's the thing. That's the thing with these short episodes.
There's only so much time. There's only so much time.
We didn't forget about Marcus.
But yeah, it's been great. We also got to talk about Terrence Mann, because I think that this is a player who, once again, I'm pretty full from having to eat some words.
Recently, yes.
Yes.
Recently, Terrence Mann is actually letting the ball fly.
Yes.
He hit a corner three. I believe it was against the Magic. Mm-hmm. He hit Fee with an oop, so he's making Fee look good, which, based on sample size, is pretty difficult to do.
No, I was going
to
say, not the easiest chore.
That was too sassy. I apologize. His passing looks more confident. He hit Oturu with a beautiful wraparound pass in that match. Like, Terrence Mann right now is playing. He looks like he's enjoying the game a lot more. He's not thinking about what needs to happen after every single play, which is a young player thing. Shea had the same thing. I'm not comparing their two abilities in any way, but Terrence Mann doesn't look like he's thinking as much in a good way.
Here's the thing. If you could remove the fouling three-point shooters... Which you have to. I mean, because it's...
He has to.
He has to, because that is the worst foul. It's the worst foul in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing remarkably close to how bad that foul is. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I have been impressed with his effort, and he has been learning on defense. But, I mean, I can't give him any defensive credit until he removes the fouling three-point
shooters.
For
sure. He did a good job against, you know, in that Heat game. I think one of the big things is... When the Clippers drafted him, they were like, we're going to use this guy as a traditional point guard,
dumb. He talked about it in sort of after his interview post-Summer League. He's like, I'm playing more point than I have ever played.
Which is not a good idea, I don't think. We're not using him as a quote-unquote traditional point guard this season compared to last season.
Yeah, definitely.
He's what the Clippers are kind of... showing what the point guard position should be when you have a really wing-heavy team, right? Like, we have elite wings who can move the ball, so you don't need a Ricky Rubio-style, you know, like, guy to direct everything. And Terrence Mann was kind of being asked to do that in a system where last season no one really knew what it was.
Yeah.
And so now that there's directives, he's just showing... that he's able to be an actual NBA contributor.
He's had some great cuts. He's looked really good around the rim. Obviously, you know, his size is always going to be a help to
that.
He's
always in the mix for boards. But he has Pat Bev rebound energy.
Yes, yeah. The rebounding has been elite
for
the position, and especially considering his age. But I think you hit the nail on the head, man. It's just, positionally, we're using him in a much better way. He's not heavily tasked with, like, being a ball-heavy kind of a guard. He fits into the system in that, you know, he's dumping off the ball to guys who are more skilled at playmaking, even though they're not, you know, in the backcourt. So I do think that is definitely a credit to his development. I hope that Kenny Atkinson has a hand in that, and I would love to give him credit for that.
Hope the shooting gets a little bit better, too, because then he will truly be, like, an all-around guy who needs more minutes.
Yes.
And then finally, what's it going to take for Luke Kennard to snap out of it? Ty Lue benched Kennard in the first half, and he said it was because he took Kennard out of the Knick game in the first half. It wasn't because of the turnover. It's because Luke didn't take the first shot that was presented. He wants Kennard to be aggressive, and everybody wants Kennard to be aggressive, and I just want it to happen. I don't care if it's garbage time. Like, man... If he's on the court sometimes, let's just run ISOs for Luke Kennard. Like, let's just get him. I don't know what the blockage is, but there's a blockage right now for him wanting to do what everyone's asking him to do, which is be aggressive.
So this, to me, is like the only... It's not even a discredit to Ty Lue, but I do think for Luke Kennard as a player. There's a dichotomy of what he's being expected to do, right? Because this is becoming a much more pass-heavy team, which I do think can sort of breed, not indecision.
Hella passes is what it breeds. You pass up shots, you throw, you know what I mean? Like, yes. What you should do, good for great shots type thing, but...
There are some opportunities where he is open on the perimeter, and he should absolutely be pulling the trigger.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I think this is kind of on... At this point, I think it's more on Kennard to just get out of his head for it, which is not an easy thing to do. I'm not just discrediting
it's just,
difficulty.
It's such a huge adjustment, and like I said, it is two contrasting kind of roles, and I think that as a young player on a new team, he is struggling to find that
balance.
And a
new contract.
And a new contract.
Which might have some pressure to it.
But I do think that ultimately he is going to figure it out. So we'll just have to monitor that as it goes on. I do feel like we've been talking about Kennard every single Monday and what he needs
we
to
really
do.
We really have, actually. Like, and, that's and, a good call,
and,
dude.
And what he needs to do and how he needs to improve. But I do have confidence that he will get there. You know, we've seen it in glimpses. And certainly he has hit some very timely threes.
He's hitting good passes, too. Like, he found Reggie for some threes in that Knicks game, which is good. So there's some good stuff there. Coming up, we're going to be talking some conspiracy theory stuff, as well as a former Clipper just getting absolutely bodied. But first, Will, talk to me about betting.
Okay, so the thing is, there's only one place that has you covered
for
bets.
Where
is one place that we trust?
Show me that place.
It's betonline.ag.
Sick.
And right now, our listeners can sign up for a free account at betonline.ag, and you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Look, I know we're all ready for some football. Super Bowl is coming up. We all want to get our bets in. And there's been some blowouts this season so far. We're going to have to actually talk about this in a separate episode, but the scoring in the NBA has been so bizarre.
It's very weird.
You might as well play the field, make your own GameStop is what I always say.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Make your own GameStop.
That's a good call.
So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Once again, that's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
We also have to give a shout out to Built Bar. You don't even have to listen to ads this time, just us talking about them. Built Bar has new improved flavors. The new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy. They're built for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet. I like the peanut butter flavor profile. A little boring. I will say I get made fun of quite a bit for liking the peanut butter flavor.
Basic Chuck.
People are always throwing stuff at me, tomatoes. And I say, I don't like those. Too crazy. Give me the peanut butter flavor Built Bar. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. You get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. If you want to get rid of that Yeti, get something built a little tougher with that Built Bar cooler. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, so we're back with shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else. Do you want to start with this bomber conspiracy? Because I feel like this is the juicier of the news.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I have formed this conspiracy theory kind of out of nowhere, which is how every conspiracy theory is formed. So last year, the media talked about the Clippers a lot. We had the team itself had a very big marketing push. There were these horrible billboards that we'll never be able to live down. You know, Vegas had us as the odds on favorites. ESPN was constantly talking about how good the Clippers were. And people thought that was some weird Ballmer paid kind of conspiracy thing. And look, the billboards and marketing push from the team itself, obviously, yes, are a Ballmer kind of, you know, that's just how team marketing works. But I don't believe the ESPN stuff was part of a larger Ballmer conspiracy at all. I do, however, think that this year, the lack of press talking about the Clippers not only being one of, if not the best looking team in the NBA right now, and the fact that we have two legitimate MVP contenders in Kawhi and PG, I think them not talking about that is actually a Ballmer press thing. I think one of the things that helps is the fact that there is not a lot of marketing from the team right now. You know, like there's not billboards saying spotlights over whatever, whatever. But Ty Lue is coaching his ass off and should be in Coach the Y or COTY discussions. Nothing about it.
He should be coach at the Y too.
Yeah, you talk about the red team with Ty Lue on the sidelines. I just think there's been a push, and this is a conspiracy theory, right? So, like, I think there's maybe a preference from the Clippers team that there's not a lot said by the media. And I think the far reach of someone who maybe has $70 billion, whatever the hell he has, might play a factor into it.
So
the team is playing so well, and there's no advertising for the team around the city.
So I don't even know if it's necessarily spending to keep things quiet so much as it is a reallocation of that spending into different avenues.
Okay.
I also think, you know, I think availability has been pretty limited this year.
Well, so that's a weird thing, is that, like, Terrence Mann did, like, a podcast with one of his buddies from FSU. Nick Batum has been on a couple other things, too. So, like, there's this weird thing where they seem almost more lax about maybe not Kawhi and PG doing stuff. But, you know, like, we never saw other Clippers. You never saw Clippers on podcast before last season.
So here's the thing. I think they're still keeping Kawhi and PG pretty close
what they want
to the chest.
They're letting Kawhi and PG do what they want to do, I think, which is not interviews.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I mean, basically last year the media was told, you know, pretty much straight up,
you're not getting anything.
You're not getting anything from Kawhi and Paul George. There will be no one-on-ones.
Yeah.
And I think that there's just maybe more of a demand, especially with how well the Clippers are doing, for content to reach out to even, I hate to say tertiary because that's not true at all, but other players, other guys who maybe wouldn't necessarily get the spotlight. So I think the bigger thing is just like an absence of, you know, the market spending as far as like an advertising or marketing perspective is concerned.
I think that's a good call. I think that that ties into the same thing, right? Like, when you're not, you know, I feel like there's a bunch of articles quoted on how much the Clippers spent to put up these billboards and to do all this other stuff. And the thing that sucks is that one of the big marketing pushes that the Clippers did last season was community outreach. They had the Kawhi backpack, endeavor. They had court openings and stuff like that. And then you have a pandemic come and you have to close all the courts, which really sucks. But I think you're totally right. I think that, like, the lack of spending, you know, kind of extinguishes the lack of the discussion of why are they spending so much to do all this. And I, for the record, I love that they're not being talked about. Part of me is upset that Kawhi isn't getting actual MVP consideration. But the other part of me thinks, A, I don't think he'd ever win it because he's on the Clippers. And we have Paul George too, so they kind of cancel each other out. And B, let us just do our thing. Like, one of the things that's nice is that Ty Lue is good with the media for a coach, which is great.
Yeah.
But he's not, and you know, Doc Rivers takes a huge burden in his position, being what we saw last year with his eloquent comments on all the horrific things that happened last year, especially in the bubble and stuff like that. Like, he's very good at those things.
Yeah.
Where Ty Lue right now hasn't had to really, like, Doc Rivers is the go-to coach for when there's things like that happening, which is unfair to Doc Rivers.
If he's your PR person,
it's wonderful.
You couldn't do much better.
You can't do much better.
So I think the only way that this hurts the Clippers is sometimes the only storylines that come out about us are less than desirable. Obviously, you know, there's a bevy of trade stuff, which I think is kind of unavoidable when you're a contender. But if there were to be even like a slight locker room thing, like, it wouldn't even have to be on the level of what it was last year. I think if a player rolled their eyes at another player as they checked to the bench, you know, from the game, I think that that's what dominates the news storyline. And certainly when we are covered by the national media, it does seem like more of a reach. And you know, ultimately,
they still talk about the Clippers chemistry, and you're like, what the hell are you even talking about? The team loves each other right now.
Ultimately, like, I'm with you. I think that it's better than the inverse, where we're kind of being talked about all
the
time.
Just
the
favorites.
Yeah. So I think that it's better. I think that's just especially better for the personalities that we have on the Clippers, to be perfectly honest. Like, I think that some teams, you know, like your Lakers or whatever, they're more primed for like that kind of a spotlight.
Yeah, and they've had it.
Yeah, and like the, you know, the players, like, that's kind of what they want. That's what they're looking for. You know, you look at the stars that we have on this team. You know, you look at the breakdown of the guys who are the most impactful. And they're just not really limelight kind of guys in the way that, like, you know, they're trying to give you a great sound bite for your thing.
Yeah, they're the guy who you work with in an office, and you're like, that dude crushes it, and then he leaves right at 5 every day.
Exactly, yeah.
And you're like, that guy's awesome to work with. Like, but, it, I mean, I don't know. I like it, and I'm happy the conspiracy theory is quasi-agreed with. Moving on to some former Clipper news. This is where the episode gets a little off the rails. Rodney Magruder was just getting roasted by Klay Thompson and Draymond Green for what, something that happened in the Pistons and Warriors game? I don't even know what happened. I was just on Twitter, and it was like Rodney Magruder was just getting, like, bodied by these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about this. I think that these guys, come on, they don't need to be dunking on Rodney Magruder. Like, let's grow up a little bit. That being said, I don't know, like, the full extent of what happened.
I'm on Rodney's side. I'm actually going to look up. You keep talking. I'm going to look up what happened with Rodney Magruder before
I say
that.
He might have been talking some shit on the bench or something. I'm not really sure. I also love that Klay Thompson took a moment out of the broadcast to ask what was going on with outdoor dining there in the Bay Area. Always critical information to know. But, look, in my experience with Rodney Magruder, he is a team-first guy. He is a stand-up individual.
Oh, he approached the Wizards tunnel after the game to try and have some words with him over something that one of their players said to Wayne Ellington in the first half, which, I'm going to be honest, Wayne, it's like, go for your teammate. You're a veteran guy.
Yes.
What else is a vet on the Pistons right now supposed to do?
Yeah.
Shout out Rodney Magruder. Super nice dude. But weird to just see these guys just, like, bodying him. Like, get over it.
Get over it.
You're bad this season. It's fine.
Grow up.
Grow up. Hey, Dre, grow up, buddy. No, we're not actually saying that.
Or are we?
And then just to close it out, 1 week until the Batum Battalion t-shirts are here.
How could you get one of those? Like, if I wanted one.
Well.
Which I do.
You're going to have to leave a review, which might be biased on it. So anyone who wants a Batum Battalion t-shirt, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We're sorry it's just an Apple platform thing right now, but that's the only one that really has reviews, and it's the most powerful one, so we're sorry about that. Blame the market. Don't blame us. Leave a review. Let us know about it, either at Locked On Clips, or email a snapshot of your review to shavings.podcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
A shout-out to our old podcast.
Yeah.
And you'll be entered to win 1 of 20, limited edition, Eddie Malden designed.
The design is wonderful.
The design is elite. Batum Battalion t-shirts, they're classy. You can wear them to a dinner. You can wear them to a work function.
Yeah. I'm going to wear them to a friend's wedding when, you know, things are safe enough to go to weddings.
Maybe your best friend's wedding?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
I'm also going to be breaking up the wedding.
It would cause...
I got a lot of stuff going on in that
wedding. The
shirt
would cause quite a stir. But yeah, enter to win, and we'll ship it to you for free. You just got to give us your address and whatnot. Tuesday's episode is going to be a hyped episode.
Yes.
We have Adam Oslin from AM570 joining us.
The man himself.
The god.
The man, the myth, the legend. You know him from the radio. Go ahead and get those Twitter Tuesday questions in. Keep him in mind.
We're also going to be previewing that Nets versus Clippers matchup, which is, it's not a finals matchup because I don't think the Nets are going to make the finals. I'll say it.
It's fair. But they have no defense.
But it's a pretty damn good regular season matchup. And, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, other than Apple Podcasts, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
All right, so you can also check us out on Google Podcasts. If you're an Android person, you can check us out on Spotify. You can check us out on Stitcher, on Deezer. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Lock on Clippers. It works flawlessly. It's wonderful. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. That's honestly the biggest thing.
Yeah, it's huge.
If you find time to leave a review, you know, as Chuck said, you can win the free t-shirt, which we'd love to give you. But most of all, you know, just thanks for listening.
Yes.
However you listen, however you choose to listen.
We appreciate it.
Whenever you choose to listen, we do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. And, I mean, I just feel so lucky every day me and my best friend get to bring you guys Clippers news.
Except for weekends. Thank y'all so much. And we do have another Batum Battalion design in the hopper. So there's probably going to be another giveaway. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.